No reading.
No writing. Interesting. Memorizing only. And with each telling, being creatively new. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing, Church of God Unlimited, here in Campo, California, with Bible Stories. In Bible times, there was no reading, no writing, only memorizing, sharing, and the ones who memorized it were always creating it new. Now, there was writing, that's true, but there were only a handful to read. And there was reading, to be sure, but there again was only that handful. And memorizing was what they did, because as they would sit in the lessons, they would hear it and they would learn it. And these were the rabbis. These were the men of the Bible. The scribes and the Pharisees and all these other people, they were all good listeners. They were memorizing the things that they had heard. And they were repeating it to the people. And the people liked to hear that because the people heard it again and again and again. But each of these wonderful people who were revealing what the Bible or what the stories that were handed down from the cultural heritage, what that meant, each was giving it a little twist, a little interpretation, a little understanding of how they would think about it, should they have the opportunity to think about it. And they did have the opportunity to think about it. Because many times, as they say, and this is such a simple, simple story, when a person goes fishing and catches fish, the size of the fish seem to keep changing. And it all depends on who you're telling the story to or who's telling the story. Little children see fish quite larger than adults do, and adults sometimes, and as they're showing off, see fish larger than they were too. But as they catch these fish, they're saying, "Oh, we got the granddaddy of them all." And he wasn't really so big, but it was just a matter of everyone saying, "That's a big one. Oh, that's a big one." Well, it was a big one compared to the others that they have caught. And if we can, in fish stories, in stories that are so current, no more than a few hours old, tell it in such dramatic, imaginative form, just imagine what the speakers of the Old Testament did. Those who memorized it, those who gave the story, the Bible stories, to the people, think of how they were. Now, this is not a bad thing, but the story of the religious development of a people is the definition for the Bible. The Bibles of every land are the stories of the religious development of the people. Upon what did the, and religious development, the moral development, the social development, the physical development, upon what are these based? What are the values that people have that they base and that they put into their religious convictions? Well, the elders of the tribe usually established those things, and they brought that forth for the people. They would not all speak about it, they would think about it, and they would have one representative who was a good person at remembering and a good person at speaking, and he would speak it. But now, as he spoke these things, as he said the things that the elders had chosen to be convictions, they sometimes interpreted it slightly differently. And as they were speaking it to the people, saying it from a slightly different point of view, the elders were sitting listening also, and they said, "That's not the way we said it, but it's okay. It's close enough. It's in the ballpark." And so, even in the moments that passed before being shared, it was also changed. How often do we change things? How often are we bound by the things that we say this moment and the next moment we say it differently? Do we have a right to do that? Do we have a right to create our own history? Do we have a right to create our own story of life? Do we have a right to do that? Well, it's not a matter of whether we have a right to do it. And I'd like to make that a very powerful statement. It's not a right that we have the right to do that. That's just the way it is. That's just the way it is. We have the King James Version of the Bible, which we feel is a pretty interesting book. One most older people have been brought up on sincerely. And then along come other Bible scholars who interpret what the King James Version was supposed to mean. And they put out other editions of other Bibles. And these other editions of other Bibles are basically the same as the original, but with a little different slant to it, a little different tilt to it, a little different information even in it, and with new insights that the writer has chosen to include. Now, readers who read the Bible from the new point of view and do not read the Bible from the old point of view have no comparison. And it doesn't matter, because whatever Bible you read, whatever you choose as your philosophy of life, you choose as your values, you choose as why you want to act in a certain way, that's okay. It's really okay, because it doesn't matter. If you want to take the Old Testament, as we often say, we can disprove and prove anything we want to say. Because in it, it tells us, thou shalt not kill. And in it, it's killing your enemies and killing your neighbors and doing all sorts of things like that. And it said, thou shalt not claim thy neighbor's axe or thy neighbor's wife. And yet we go around claiming thy neighbor's ass and thy neighbor's wife and all these things that don't belong to us. You see, whatever is convenient for us is what our Bible is. Now, are our values so sociable? Are our values so changeable? Do we have values that never change? Do we have values that stand the test of time, that stand through all invasions of writers and readers and interpreters and translators and biblical scholars? Do we have truths that stand up? Yes, we do. We have many of them. And they vary with each group who's going to interpret it. But the values that come through seem to be the values that Jesus taught so beautifully. And he taught us that the divine, the creative cause of the universe, God, the God that dwells in you and I, the God that is eternal, that is a God of love, and that is a God of peace and harmony, and that is a God that judges not, possesses not, is all. Now, love your neighbor like yourself. Many of the golden rule points of view are consistent. And they come down from every culture. They come down from every language, every area. And as they do this, they remain basically the same. And so, really, if we are going to be biblical theologians, scholars of the Bible, let us take from the Bible those universal principles and live our lives based upon these universal principles. The principle of unconditional love, the principle of being loving to yourself and to your neighbor, to realizing that the presence dwells within you and that you are indeed the presence. When we take that information from our Bible, when we take that information from the movement of the biblical thinking that has come down through the ages of every culture, we'll find that the similarities are few and powerful, but they are there, and they are what we use to guide our life, to direct our life, to judge our life, to live our life. No reading, no writing, memorizing, sharing, creatively new. Yes, our Bible, the Bible of every culture in the world, is creatively new with each interpretation. The thousands of ministers across the world, the thousands of priests, rabbi, shaman, the thousands of religious leaders of every nature, they all have basic things alike. The respect for the infinite, the respect for human life, and the respect for motherhood. Yes, many of these things are never changing. You see, it doesn't take a lot of pages to write up the Bible. Nor does it take a lot of wisdom to follow it, nor does it take a lot of brilliance to understand it. But it only takes our choice in being happy people, living in a happy world, doing happy things. And as we do that, our Bible is well written and well read. Have a lovely day, and know that I love you. I love you. I love you.